Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we share stories that go beyond the pavement. I'd like to begin by inviting you to support this podcast, following or subscribing on your favorite podcasting app, or find it online at communityrunpod.com. While you're online, head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave a rating and review. It helps others to notice how much you enjoy the show. And if you leave a review, I will read it out on our next podcast. Make sure to share this podcast with your running community as we grow on the run and beyond. And if you'd like to support the podcast and become a part of the Run and Rev Run Club, you can make a one-time or monthly donation by heading on over to buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. Again, you can drop a tip if you just really enjoy this episode, or you can become a member with a monthly donation. A gift of any amount really helps to keep the lights on here at the Run, Build, Grow Studios. And so I would love it if you could help to support the pod. In this episode, I have on Mike Couch. Mike is such a great friend of mine over at Run Sumo with all the stuff we are doing here in the Hampton Roads area of Suffolk, Chesapeake, Portsmouth, Virginia. And so I wanted to have him on because he's got some awesome stuff that he has going on. And we both are just having an awesome time co-leading Run Sumo as we continue to live into and understand and explore this run community space. So why don't you tune in, check out this conversation with Mike, and don't forget to support the podcast. All right. Welcome in, everybody. Today, I'm joined by a special guest. I've got Mike Couch on. He is the co-leader over with me at Run Sumo out of Momac Brewing in Portsmouth. And I've been wanting to get him on for a while, but we finally got it going. And I think it's at a good time because Mike's got a lot of awesome stuff that's going on, but also just a lot of experience in this run community space. So, Mike, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing phenomenal, Andrew. How are you?
Doing great. So let's start out where I start out with everybody on this podcast. What is your community and what makes your community awesome?
Well, great question, Andrew. So I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, you and I, we lead that Run Sumo run group out of Momac Brewery. And that's the main focus of my run community in this area. I'm also active duty Navy. So I don't really count that much as running. I think we do a mile and a half each year. And that's pretty much the extent of what we do. But within our run community that we have here in Portsmouth, Virginia, my community is one that involves such a family-friendly environment based out of Momac Brewery Company, where we have kiddos from all ages, teenagers, and adults that come together with this love and passion to being active, whether it's walking, running, triathlons, across the board. Everyone shares that common interest. And it's that old saying, like, misery loves company.
Yeah.
we love to get out and run together. So when we show up for a race and we have all these daunting runs ahead of us to share that experience with others and to go through this journey of getting better and being healthy, we share that with others and it's phenomenal. What makes it also really cool, mentioning family friendly, we go through many kid birthday parties. So my kids, you know, they get invited to many of them and they're almost always involving our run club members. And so Our run club members get together outside of the run club days and they do things together, whether it's a holiday meal, sharing a kid's birthday party, whatever it may be, going on vacations together, destination runs, what have you. That community we built here in Portsmouth, Virginia, it's like no other. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think the best one is just randomly popping into Instagram and seeing, you know, you with some of our other run club folks out in San Francisco running a half marathon. We definitely take it national. I think we're getting close to maybe having to take it global. So we'll kind of see what marathons await in your future. So. But, you know, as I think about back to the early days of a lot of this, and I know for you and definitely for me, this community, it kind of built from nothing. When I started Driver back after I first moved here, it was because there was nothing out here. And we were driving to Norfolk, driving to Virginia Beach, driving to Chesapeake, you know, having to go through tunnels, over bridges to get to things. And so how did that kind of start for you? I remember wanting to start Driver just because there was nothing out here. And, you know, I remember calling mutual friend of ours, Ryan Carroll, and just saying, hey, man, I just want to get a group of us together. And so what did it look like from your perspective as you're thinking and looking at the landscape near where you were and starting something at Momac and with Run Sumo?
to look back on that, I think that's close to over 3 years now. So my wife, she works there at Momac Brewery. She's now working in the back with production and helping brew as an assistant brewer with the beers. And she's also one of the beer tenders. She started working there, and the general manager, who we all love, Miss Tori, she came up, and in our Hampton Roads area, there's a lot of breweries who have run clubs. Mm-hmm. And she mentioned to my wife that, hey, she would like to have a run club. And my wife said, well, my husband runs. And at that time, I just ran for the military or just for fun, nothing serious. And she came up to me and she said, I want to start a run club. I didn't know anything about starting run clubs. So I said, well, let's give it a try. And she also knew Ryan Carroll. So she put us together with Ryan. Ryan and I sat down and he kind of gave me the lay of the land. Let's start a day. We started a social media page. And then from there, that's how we started there at Momac Brewery, meeting one day a week. Of course, now we meet twice a week. And then a couple months later, because Driver is so close to where we are here in Portsmouth, and we just ran into you and your Driver Run Club, and we started doing a lot of things where we merged our similar people together. We ran on similar trails, and we just thought, hey, let's provide your Driver Run Club a venue. Let's combine it together. And that's how we kind of got started.
Yeah. And I think especially in those early days, it was kind of unknown territory for you and I, because while we had Ryan Carroll, Ryan really did a lot to just kind of say, I'm not the leader of this. Mike and Andrew, they're the ones who are kind of leading this venture. And while there was a lot of behind the scenes work, we did a lot of the stuff up front and kind of just leading from, you know, how does this work? What are we doing? Yeah. And so as we think about, you know, the last 2.5 years now, I mean, it really has been 2.5. Whew. We think about where this club has gone. Where have been those places that you've been looking as we've been finding community within ourselves? Because there's so many different ways that it's been expressed within this group. And it's never even limited itself just to say like a small group of, whether it's like that core group of, what is it, like 10 or 12 that we have, but expands to those 30, 40 people. So what's it been like in building that community? And what have you learned from sort of this process?
I think one of the biggest takeaways that I've learned in building this community is that we're there purely for each other and the love of the sport of running. And I see that so much. Runners gather together. And when we go do local races, and here at Hampton Roads, we have so many between the Striders, JNA, Flat Out Events, what have you. We always have our club members that are putting out, hey, anybody going to this run? And hey, let's meet up before the race starts and let's get a picture, or let's hang out afterwards. And what we've done is we've allowed these, you know, all of our members here in our club to be able to go to these races and know somebody else, to be able to have communication with other people. And that community has just spread. So now we have new people coming in, maybe have only joined us for the past couple meetings or past couple run outings. And they've gotten to know us because of our group sizes at these race events. And they've heard Run Sumo, and they heard of our premier location here in the Portsmouth area and are surrounded by trails. Us having that ability to be able to gather together at race events, at other locations, and be able to know each other. I've gone up to Fredericksburg area to run the Marine Corps races with my wife, and we would have numerous of our Run Sumo members be up there in Fredericksburg. Or up in Arlington area for the Marine Corps Marathon. I mean, it just extends so far up. And we were able to get together and have Run Sumo pictures hours away. So it's building that community. That's what I've learned so much, is how impactful we are here, that we've built this together.
And so where are we finding these pockets of community? Because it seems like when we gather, people often just come out of the woodwork. And what does it mean for us to not, I mean, we're not building a brand, right? It's not like we're trying to say like, this is this and that is that. But what has it meant for you to sit back and just to see these people coming in and experiencing it? And I think even over the past few months, we've seen people who are restarting their running journeys. What does it mean for you to be playing a role in that, having created this space for folks?
Well, I think you just hit the nail on the head there. So when we have that motivation, not only are we to gather people together, but we're also encouraging them to be active and to come out of their comfort zone and encourage them to step up to that 10K race when they've only ever done 5Ks. And hey, step up to that half marathon where that's just anything with the word marathon just scares so many people. But having a community that says, hey, it's okay to walk and run. It's okay to be at this this comfortable, easy pace, and you're welcome to be here. Taking that to its new level allows people to step out of their comfort zone and to challenge themselves and to see people grow. When we started out a couple of years ago, you would have people that would never even touch a half marathon, or their paces were 11, 12 minutes, 13 minutes a mile, and they would walk, run. And now you've seen significant strides in the same individuals where they are today. They're completing the Shamrock Half Marathon last weekend and setting PRs for themselves. And this is their first half marathon ever. And it took this group here to encourage them and say, hey, you could do this. Let's do it together. And we would go out on these training runs together. We would meet up on our weekly outings at MoMac, and we would leave together and walk and run together. But we would encourage each other. We would meet up together at these races, and to see people achieve their goals. They would set a goal, say, I'm going to make it happen, and see them cross that finish line. They didn't do it alone, and they know that. And it's really cool to see the community that we built help to get across that finish line of that goal that they set for themselves.
And what has it meant for your run journey? Because just in the past couple of years that I've known you, you've accomplished some really awesome things on the run. We didn't have a relationship before we started Run Simone. We've kind of gotten to know each other over the last couple of years, and just the amount of growth that we can see from one another in this process. What has being the leader of a local run club meant for your own running journey?
It's been absolutely amazing, and I couldn't ask for a better experience. I'm totally blessed here. For me personally, I've had a lifelong, early on in my career is more, I've always been weightlifting, especially with being with the Marine Corps. And then later on, lifting has always been my thing. Running, not so much. But I started to pick up running just because I wanted to get a little bit more cardio in, and I do enjoy it. For me, I never looked into different race distances. I never looked into an 8K, a 10K. I really didn't know they really existed. I heard about, I've done a marathon or two back. My first marathon was a Marine Corps marathon in 2015. But since then, I didn't really do any other running. And that one was just to go out and have fun with it. But outside of that, I've never been any active nature in any races whatsoever until we started this run club. And having a community together and being able to go out to races together and see that, it's been so cool. In my times, I've never thought that I could achieve the times that I have achieved to this point. If you were to ask me this 5 years ago, that I would be hitting the paces I am today, I would think you're crazy. There's no way I would be able to do that, or the distances. I would never say that I would go out for a 14, 15, 18 mile training run. That was nothing I would ever do. But it took this run club and the people that I got to know, such as yourself and others, that have told me, hey, this is what we need to do to be able to achieve this goal. You want to hit this marathon at this certain time? You need to run these paces. You need to do these training runs. I didn't know anything about that stuff. So putting this run club together, it's just been phenomenal. And it's really improved my running journey.
And it's led to some really interesting times, especially as we reflect back. One of the couple of things that you and I talked about when it came to planning this episode was kind of one, and we'll get to it, is what happened a couple of weeks ago at Shamrock, but also sort of this journey for you to get to Boston, right? And I think for a lot of runners who do kind of hold this special place with the marathon, Boston becomes this goal that they want to achieve. You want to qualify for Boston. You want to get into Boston. And a lot of folks, they don't really ever have the opportunities just because, I mean, those standards are really tough. Oftentimes they'll come back and maybe they'll try and get like a charity bib, or sometimes they'll go and cheer it on just so that they can have the atmosphere and environment. But you kind of, right from the bat, set this audacious goal of qualifying for Boston. And you see everything that you kind of went through to try and get there. So work us through this journey of what the last couple of years have looked like for you, knowing that journey, the role that community has played. And this is not anything to shame the work that you did, because, I mean, you've done amazing work. But to pick up the pieces when you were having tough times, and what's that looked like for you?
It's been a wild journey. So I have attempted to qualify for Boston 3 times. And I came up short each one, with my fastest marathon being around a 3:05 time. And so for me, being a young buck, we had to get that sub-3 hour, which is just such a daunting task. And the training that's required to get there, it's not impossible by any stretch of the imagination. It's not impossible, but it is one that is very daunting and it's very challenging to get there. But if you keep that mindset about yourself and that you're not going to give up and you're going to keep striving for those goals, and if it means something to you, you'll go after it. And your failure is one of those things. If you don't fail, then I don't know how you're going to learn your way through and how to get to that qualification standard for something like Boston. But for the journey for me in Boston, like I said, I attempted 3 times, didn't make it each at any of those attempts. However, I kind of drew the lucky straw, if you will, if you want to say it that way. So in the military, we call it a permanent change of station or a PCS. So I'm up for orders. And so I selected the PCU Massachusetts. I'm in a submarine community. So it is a new and up and coming submarine that's not commissioned yet. She just finished up her final build phases. But she's over there in Newport News Shipbuilding. And it's the PCU Massachusetts. Well, when a ship commissions, you have a commissioning committee. And the state, if it's typically named after a state, that state really puts a lot of funding and a lot of support into that ship. I'm going to be the dock on the PCU Massachusetts. The state of Massachusetts and the city of Boston, they donated 6 Boston Marathon bibs to the PCU Massachusetts. Well, I know the commanding officer well and the chief of the boat and a bunch of other people on the Massachusetts, and they know I'm a big rudder. And they knew I was coming to report to that command. And they graciously reached out to me and said, we would like for you to have one of these bibs. And I felt awkward at first because it takes so much effort to try to qualify and get that bib to Boston. But for me personally, I'm going to go serve 3 years on this ship, right? I have potential, I'll likely deploy on this ship. I will go out to sea and I'll serve her well, right? But in order to get that bib, it took that gracious invitational bib from the state of Massachusetts and the city of Boston that gave it to our commissioning committee of that boat. So that's how I got the bib. I'm going to run Boston this April next month here in about 2.5-3 weeks. So it's coming up quick, but I'm going to enjoy every bit of it. And I've got such high goals and aspirations, but this one right here, I'm doing it for the enjoyment of Boston, to see the history and experience it fully. And then, you know, just share my experiences with others. So that's how I got to the Boston bib for next month.
Yeah. And I mean, listeners, you're listening, Mike is getting ready for Boston, but to experience that journey, to come sort of short on that goal, and yet being able to have something to offer when you get to Boston. And I'm sure the hardcore runners that think, now you gotta qualify. It's like, friends, if anybody really deserves a bid for Boston, it's Mike Couch. I mean, The guy got hypoxia and still crossed the line in like a 301. I think when we look at it, it's because of that community spirit that kind of lifts it up, that looks at a situation like this and says, okay, how am I really giving my all into this effort? What does it look like for me to be a part of that? And to see the run club surround and come together and support in this time, not just from the failed attempts, but even now coming to getting ready, you're in your final prep stages for Boston. What has it been like for you within this community to receive that support from runners, from your wife and kids, from all of these folks, as you prepare to tackle, as I look at it, one of the most difficult of the world marathon majors, not just in terms of getting in, but even just in terms of running? I see it all the time when people, they get the charity bibs or they get the sponsorship bids, is, you know, these people are taking it just as seriously as those folks who qualified. So what's it been like for you to receive that support as you've been kind of getting ready for Boston?
It's been absolutely phenomenal. And it's nothing short of what I was hoping for and would expect from the run club and the run community that I'm surrounded by. I spoke to Jerry from J&A Racing and I told him I wanted to bring a bit of our home up there to Boston with me. So I'm going to be representing J&A by wearing the ambassador singlets while I run Boston. So bringing our love for racing through J&A Racing here in our Hampton Roads community up to Boston with me. So very welcoming from the J&A side. For the Run Some Mo community and Momac Brewing, I couldn't be more thankful for their love and support and pushing me through all the attempts that I have done, and then to this point, supporting me and getting me up there. And every time I go to MoMag now or Run Club, so many of them just say, hey, we're counting down, short timer now. We got 2 weeks left or 3 weeks left, you know? So it's one of those, like, that people keep reminding me, hey, it's coming up soon. And I just couldn't be more excited. So one of our Run Club members, he's also active duty back up to Groton, Connecticut. And so we're going to be meeting up with him when we go up there, and him and his sailors are going to be volunteering at Boston. this year at one of the water stops. So it is just this all-inclusive event that has involved so much of our run club. And I can't wait to just bring that up there and represent our Run Simo club, represent our brewery, represent our running community here up in Boston on the world stage. I'm very excited about it.
The fact that you think about it in terms of, I'm not going up as Mike Couch or even Doc Couch, whatever you need to be, you know, it is going up there with the heart and spirit of the group, you know, the PCU Massachusetts that gave you the opportunity to have the bib. But it's also taking the Hampton Roads community. It's taking J&A with you. It's taking Run Simo with you. It's using that connection with our mutual friend and inviting him. It's expanding the community out. And I know we joke, but it's almost Run Simo like the Hotel California. You can move away, but you're still a part of our run crew and you're never allowed to leave except for if you break the rules of Run Club, which is basically just to die. But yeah. You're taking all of these people, you're taking all of these ideas with you. I wonder, does it become a lot to bear? To just thinking about it, like it's a lot that kind of is not being put on your shoulders, but you're carrying a lot with you as you're going in this race. As you're running Boston, as you're traversing down the streets, going down the downhills, you know, coming through the Newton Hills, going into Boston, how are you carrying all of those people, the military, the friends, the family, the run club, the Hampton Roads community? How are you carrying those folks with you through those 26.2 miles?
You know, it's always, that's a great question. I just see it as kind of something that I've always done, especially being in the military service. It's something that I'm kind of used to. They always say that you put that uniform on, that's what you're representing. You're representing the United States Navy or whichever branch of service. You know, you're representing our country in the defense of her. And that's just always something that I've always harnessed. And what I always like to say is taking ownership. Right. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, it's, hey, I started this run club. I didn't start it alone and I've never been alone in this whole process. And maybe I just put the word out first. But outside of that, it's you, it's Tori, it's everybody here that within our run community and all of our regulars that have put together such a phenomenal group and that run this show. And we couldn't do it without them. So not doing it alone. When I go up there, it's representing the PCU Massachusetts and the ship that I'm going to serve on for the next few years. It is representing our run community down here at Hampton Roads and bringing them up with me. I think the coolest thing about it is it's not necessarily the weight that I'm going to bear, but it's the motivation that fires me up to push through, right? So when you hit that mile 18, 19, 20 and on, those legs get tired, you know, but it's that digging deep in that search of, hey, I own this. I got here and I didn't get here alone. There's people that are rooting for me and following me along the way. Let's keep those in mind and let them pull me along. And so that's going to be my motivation and drive forward during this race. And so I try not to look at it so much as weight, but I look at it more so that the fire that I needed to push me further.
And I think about all that has gone into this training, all that it has meant to this community, to see everything kind of come to fruition, and then also the sacrifices that you make along the way. And I think one of the great examples of this, especially for you and I, it's not always about being the fastest, being the strongest, being everything that other people think we have to be, right? Because they look at you and me, they look at our PRs and they're like, oh man, you're ultra fast. And yet you especially getting it started early on and then being able to pick up on it of, all right, let's hang back. Let's run together. Let's really foster this sense of community. And never being afraid to take that role, never being afraid to back it off because you recognize that community is the important part of everything. And I think that's one of those lessons that we kind of got from Ryan as we look and we watch him lead among us. We saw him, you know, backing off and helping folks through their half marathons and everything like that. But for us to kind of be in that situation and allow what we're doing to kind of be transformed by what's happening around us. And so to shift this conversation from what's about to happen at Boston to what happened at Shamrock? Because I mean, this is really the great story, friends. If somebody were to ask me to identify Mike Couch, to tell a story that identifies Mike Couch, I think this is the one that I love to, that I want to tell people from now on. And so you did something really cool at Shamrock. And in the lead up to Shamrock, you were really uncertain about what you wanted to do. You knew you wanted to run, or you knew you wanted to be there. But you, like some of the rest of us, were kind of like, well, what do I want to do? And so I don't want to tell the story. I want to turn it over to you. So first of all, start with that email from Ine that was asking for something, but also walk through the thought process of what made you want to answer that email and to do what it was asking for.
That's a loaded question, brother. I had the distinct honor and privilege of being able to do a guided run during Shamrock. So Jerry from Jerry and A Racing sent an email out to all the run club leaders in Hampton Roads. And you got one yourself, Andrew, right? I think.
Yeah.
And this email went out and it was in search of anybody in our clubs that would be interested in guiding a visually impaired young man from Texas that Jerry and the J&A Racing team were sponsoring from Texas to come up here and run the marathon. And he didn't have any, it wasn't a slower time either. The email consisted of, hey, he just needs a guide. He's visually impaired. He runs about a 7:30 to 8 minute pace, and he's looking to do the full marathon. And I thought that was absolutely brilliant. And you're right. I didn't have a goal in mind to run Shamrock, really. If anything, I might have done the 8K with my son on Saturday, which I did. But I was really kind of driven to help out with the Runcimo 10 at Run Club Alley. That's kind of what I really was driven to do. But when I saw that email, I'm definitely one of those guys that's motivated by seeing other people reach their goals. More than anything, I'm never going to see Olympic trial. I'll never see these crazy fast times. I don't get paid to do this running. I love it. And what I love even more than the running itself is just seeing other people reach their goal, whether it's me helping them pace to get a certain time, whether it's me just on the sideline cheering them on, whatever it may be, helping them develop a plan or whatever it is, I want to see them achieve a goal. Well, this young man from Texas, his name is Christian. Shout out to you, Christian. Hopefully you get to listen to this one, but an honor and a pleasure of a lifetime. He flew up from Texas and came here for the Shamrock weekend. And we got together. So Ryan Carroll, Gary, our friend that's up there in Groton, and our families got together. Christian came up with his dad, his sister, and his aunt. And they all came up together to support Christian in this run. And now Christian is a visually impaired individual. Now he can see some shadows and make out some figures, but he doesn't really have a sense of direction when it comes to being able to see it physically. So this is all very new to me. I've never done a guided run before. So the night before the race on Saturday evening before the Shamrock Marathon on Sunday, we all went out together to go to an Italian restaurant out in Virginia Beach to get our pasta and our carb load in. And we kind of developed a game plan on how we're going to do this run. And the goal was Ryan Carroll was going to take him out on the first half of the marathon. And then I'm going to meet him up halfway and I'm going to take him through the final half and bring him through the finish. This way, at that pace, we could have definitely got him through the entire marathon, but this allowed him to have both guides as fresh as can be, leading him through each half of the marathon. So here it is Sunday morning. We meet up to the start line and we kick it off. And Ryan takes him through the first half. I meet him right at the 12-mile marker. And from there, it just is incredibly exciting. I took Christian and he is in a way to where you can guide him on the straight and narrow. So you can take him and say, all right, Christian, just head straight. We got you right here. And you don't have to touch him or hold him or anything. He's able to maintain straight. He might bump into you for a little guide. You might have to grab him and pull him back center. But outside of that, as long as our route's straight, he's got you all day. I will never forget us coming up on Run Club Alley. And if you ran Shamrock, you'll know Run Club Alley, the sound coming down that corridor. He never smiled bigger. I don't think. His smile was so big. He was so happy when we ran and we made that right turn heading up Atlantic and went down Run Club Alley. I told him, hey, Christian, your family's right here on your side. Everyone's cheering you on. So are all the Run Club tents. It got so loud. And Run Club Alley really set the tone for Christian. And there we are. We went south and we started off our second half of that marathon. And boy, what a challenge it was. But I will never forget the experience of that half of the marathon.
And I think, you know, it's almost like what people come to expect now, because I remember seeing the email and just thinking, man, I want to help. I wish I could. And you know, knowing where I've been the last year, just feeling like what was there was a little out of reach for me. And then you and I talking, you know, what was it like a couple of hours later, and you just saying, man, I'm feeling led to help him. And even to the point of, you know, getting Ryan back involved and trying to help him get back on his feet in terms of like coming back from his injuries and everything like that. And so as your guiding Christian, you know, this is something that, you know, folks, I mean, they train for this, and not that you didn't kind of train for this kind of understand kind of race, you know, but when people are guiding blind rudders, you know, you and I talked about it. I was like, okay, do you have to like use the paracord? Is there a tether that y'all are going to use? And are you guys going to practice beforehand? I think for fully visually impaired people, there's a little bit of learning about how to do this. And you didn't allow that to get in the way of answering a need that involved being communally there for somebody. And yeah. You stepped up and you said, hey, I can do this. Obviously, I need instructions about how. And so when you're stepping in, what was going through your mind as you were reading that email? Were you wrestling with anything? Were you just like, man, like, I'm super pumped. I want to help make this happen. What were those first feelings when you're reading that email, or even when you first like said, hey, I'll do it?
Yeah, to be honest, when I first read that email, I reached out to Jerry and I said, well, if you don't have anyone else in mind, I would sure love the opportunity to do this. And the reason why I really reached up is I've always been that guy that would put that hand out to pick somebody up. So it's one of those, I'll put aside anything that I have going on for myself to help somebody else out. And especially if it's a goal that somebody has in mind to complete something like a marathon. And we take everything for granted when we're able to see what's ahead of us. And Christian didn't have that ability. And I wasn't going to allow it to happen. I didn't know what other people were going to reply to this email. I just knew that if he had this goal and he wanted to run a marathon, to help him get there. And if nobody else is going to do it, there's going to be me. So, and that's why I reached out. That's what went through my mind. It wasn't really a second thought of, hey, whether I want to do it or not. It was, someone's going to take care of him and I'm going to put my voice up. And if nobody else steps up, hey, I'm already there. That's why I reached out and said, I'll do it for sure.
And so what was it like for you to help Christian? You took over about mile 12. You got the pleasure of leading him through Run Club Alley, which is just wild and crazy. You also had the pleasure of leading him probably through the most desolate part of the course.
Yeah, for sure.
As well. So what are you two kind of talking about? What's happening on this run? How are you keeping him motivated? You ran 14 miles. He ran 26.2. And so how are you keeping him motivated, especially as you're coming up and going through all those miles?
Oh, man. Let me tell you, Andrew, this was an experience like no other. I did not know what to expect. Like I said, I've never done this before. When I met Christian, I hit him at 12 and I started running along him. He was clipping a solid 7:30, 7:40 pace. He was doing really well. And that's at mile 12 and he's hitting those paces and he's really comfortable. I didn't know really what to do because I've never ran with him before, but I got a feel for him. I didn't touch him as soon as I got to him. I started talking to him. He was happy to hear my voice. I started encouraging him. We're breathing through. I was just kind of listening to how he was breathing and how he was doing. Nobody prepared me for what to expect here. So as we were coming up on turns, I just thought of, hey, why don't I count this down for him? So I would say, all right, Christian, here in about 50 feet, we're going to come up on a left-hand turn. I'm going to guide you straight on through this. Are you ready? And he's like, yeah, Mike, let's go. So we would get up close. I'm like, all right, 5, 4, 3, 2. And I would grab his arm and all right, and turn. And I would help guide him through this turn, clipping those 7:45, 8-minute paces pretty quick. And we would go down, and as we're coming up on Atlantic, all right, Christian, we're going to make a right-hand turn. We're going to come right on Atlantic Avenue. Are you ready through? And I would say, are you ready to go on each one of them? And we would count it down and we'd move into the turn. I found that worked out absolutely perfect. As we would hit the straightways, all I really had to do is, if he started verging a little bit to the right or so, he liked me on the left side. I would grab his arm and I would kind of, all right, Christian's come back over a little bit center and set. And then he would just continue on. I'd let him go and we would just run together. And we would have some conversations about how Texas is, how's the run going. He wanted a change of scenery, as you would say, up here in Virginia. He's a visually impaired. He wanted a change of scenery. I absolutely loved it. But what I was not prepared to do, so I got the turns down. Super, got it down. That wasn't too bad. was the parts that is hard to describe, right? So, okay, Christian, we are coming up on a left-hand turn and we're going to go onto the boardwalk. But in order to get onto the boardwalk, there's a significant ditch, essentially, is what I'm going to call it, I guess, from Atlantic Avenue onto the boardwalk. So how do you describe that as you're coming up at a 7:45 pace and you're coming into a left-hand turn and you're saying, okay, Christian, here's a left-hand turn and there's a ditch. I'm going to try to help you through it. And there it is. And so you're, for him, the ground disappeared underneath him. And so he took a bit of a stumble. He never fell. I was able to grab him and hold him up, but he was pushing on. I'm like, all right, Christian, you good to go? And he said, yeah, Mike, let's go. Let's make this happen. And so we were great. His mentality through this entire race was some of the best I've ever seen. He smiled so much. He was so happy, had such a good head up on his shoulders. Every time we came up on a speed bump, as you're going onto the base in Camp Pendleton down on the south side, there's like five speed bumps in a row every 10 feet. All right. Well, it's in every one of the timing markers in the road. So it's, hey, Christian, all right, we're coming up on speed bumps. I'm going to count it down in 5, 4, 3, 2, and hop. And we would hop over each one of these. And that's how I would count it down. And each one I was holding his arm. So that's how I was guiding him through this race. And the coolest part of the whole thing was just his excitement. And that's what just lit a fire underneath me. It was just so easy for me to breeze through this with him, just seeing the excitement on his face. That's where I was just entranced by how happy he was out here meeting his goals. When we would hit water tables, that was another challenge, is getting through a water table. I had to hold his arm so he wouldn't veer off into the cones or into other kind of runners. And we would grab a cup and I would hand him a cup, hand it directly in his hand. He would drink it and he's a big guy. You would need about 3 cups of water each time we hit a water table. But his mentality through this race, I could honestly say I've never seen somebody just so happy to be there. He's just happy to do this. And when you have that, we all take for granted our sight, our ability to see. And he didn't let that stop him. You know, not one bit. He said, hey, I can't see, but I'm going to go run a marathon. It's not something you normally hear, you know? And so when you talk about excuses that people come up with on the why they can't do something, well, let me introduce you to Christian, who from the day he was born, he could not see. And yet this is his third marathon that he has ran. Pleasure of a lifetime. I could talk all day about Christian and my experience with him, but I'm just letting you know, it was opportunity of a lifetime. I absolutely loved it.
Well, and it's an opportunity that being a part of community had offered you, right? Because I don't think, you know, had we come through this journey of where we've been with Run Sumo, had we not had, you know, relationships throughout the run community, had we not been so embedded in this community, would even a question like that have been asked from JNA, right? We give it up to JNA for being so a part of the community that they feel comfortable asking this. We give it up to the run clubs all around, whether it's Run Sumo, you know, or any of the other brewery clubs, whether it's Striders or Peninsula Drag, you know, those run clubs of, you know, giving us the space to be able to do these kinds of things and to be able to express ourselves on the run. But, you know, as you mentioned earlier, like when we talk about Run Sumo, it's not just the Tuesday night and the Saturday mornings that we talk about. It's not just the miles that we sometimes run together, but it's the beers that we have afterwards, or for some of our friends, the Coke Zeros that they have as well. And it's the hanging out with folks. It's the kids' birthday parties that we get an opportunity to go to. It's maybe just grabbing a bite to eat with someone. It's the relationship that have been formed. And as we look out on the scale of that, to see how much it's impacted us, and now to see how far it goes out, because you know, we talk about Gary, we talk about Christian, you know, up in Massachusetts or up in Connecticut, down in Texas, we've got Run Sumo people who have moved to, you know, all these different states and they've been able to take this with them and sort of the experience that we've been able to offer from it. And I think as we look at Hampton Roads and we want to be that run community within this geographical area, it's always been for you and I, how are we finding those connections that can help us to be better community with one another? When new folks are coming, it's so funny. We'll leave the comfort of the regulars and we'll just go and strike up conversations with these new folks. And I mean, we're not the only run club that does that. You know, there's all the run clubs are doing these kinds of things, but I think those are the signs that we're doing it right, that when we respond, and then when we look at something like that run club alley from the Shamrock Marathon and Half Marathon, and we see all the folks who are lining up on the side of that road, cheering us on, and the spirit and emotion that comes forth from that, you know, it's hard to replicate it. So, Mike, this has been a great conversation. I want to wrap us up here as we move to these end of podcast questions. So, what is your favorite race distance?
I would say, hands down, my favorite race distance is the marathon. I can't describe it. I love the half marathon distance if I really want to kind of push speed. But the marathon, to me, impacts you as a person something differently. It is so different than any other distance from my point of view. The marathon itself, how much you have to search deep within yourself to be able to complete that race, to be able to complete that distance. I don't care who you are. When that mile 20 to 22 pops up, that's where the test really starts. And it takes a certain level of soul searching in order to get through that. And once you get through it and you look back on it, the level of pride that you have that you accomplished this, that distance at race is, I don't feel any other distance gives me that sense of gratitude and that pleasure. So the marathon for me is my favorite distance.
What's your favorite thing to eat post-run?
Oh, my favorite hands down food post-run, it might sound funny, but it's a big juicy burger. I will smash a burger right after any run, and it's my favorite food to have. And the bigger, the better, you know? So like if it's a double patty, smash burgers with cheese and all the fixings, that's my meal after a run.
What is the most interesting thing to happen to you on the run?
Oh, well, so we just discussed about Christian, and I think that has really set the bar for me on the most interesting and most inspirational thing I've ever done on a run. But if we want to talk interesting, one of my Boston trials that I went after to try to qualify, I went out and ran Big Bear as part of the Revel Marathon series. And this was out of San Bernardino, California. And we started at an elevation of about 7,500 feet. And we came down to about 2,000 feet. So it is a significant decline marathon race. All of Revel races are all downhill. And right at that last half mile, I developed a hypoxia state, completely, basically blacked out. I don't remember crossing the finish line. Ryan was right there with me and helped me get through it. I stayed on my feet all the way through. I went to the medical tent, had to get oxygen and all that kind of stuff. But I've never been injured. I've never gotten hurt, knock on wood. I've never gotten hurt on a marathon or any other race. But that's probably the most interesting thing because I could hear things around me. I can hear Ryan talking to me in the crowds. But I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see anything at all. But I think that was something very interesting. And a big shout out to my brother Ryan there for backing me up always and helped me cross that finish line there.
Yeah. And then lastly, before we head out here, why should someone find and join their local running group?
You can't beat community. And if you're a family guy such as myself, you can't beat the mentorship and the setting of the example to your family from others that are around you. So my son, my daughter, my wife, us as a family are so thankful for this group. We're a military family that move around. So finding a community like this, whether you're military, whether you're civilian, whatever you do, it allows you to get out and get to know people that you normally wouldn't. You're not involved in it's not a church group or a club or a school or work. It's something separate. But you all have one common goal, and that is being active, doing something that betters you as a person and you as a unit, like a family, and bringing everything together. So the inspirations that I have gathered from our run club members, that I look to every one of them and seeing them achieve their goals and surpassing goals and setting goals to meet at a later date and then involving their family. That's something that I promote so much into getting a run club either started or joining your local run club and getting in there and getting after it. Log those miles in.
Man, it's been such a great conversation. I've wanted to have Mike on for a while. It's been so great because we've been on this journey together the past couple of years. He and I just exploring what this, just like I tagged this podcast, what this communal spirit of running is. We've been able to see it grow just right here in Portsmouth, Virginia. You know, I wouldn't just encourage you to find your local run group, but if you're ever in like this area, definitely come out and join us for a run. But also it's finding those times, just like Mike has talked about. It's not just what you get from community, right? You know, we can talk all day about Mike having gotten, you know, a bid for Boston and gotten these PRs and all of these things, but it's even more so what you've been able to give to community that has really made the difference for a lot of us. So Mike, just, you know, thank you so much for everything that you do. You know, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. You have a good day, man.
Hey, same to you. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for joining. And remember, make every mile count.